Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUScast, Divorce and Beneficiary Designation Edition. I'm your host, Bridget Flaherty. On March 19, 2018, the Supreme Court heard argument in Sveen v. Mellon, a case involving the relationship between Minnesota's revocation upon divorce statute and the U.S. Constitution's Contracts Clause, which declares that no state may pass a law impairing the obligation of contracts. In 2002, Minnesota amended its probate code to incorporate life insurance beneficiary designations into its revocation upon divorce statute. Mark Sveen purchased a life insurance policy in 1997, months before marrying Kay Mellon, who Sveen designated as the primary beneficiary on the policy. His two adult children, Ashley and Antone Sveen, were listed as contingent beneficiaries. Mellon and Sveen divorced in 2007, but Sveen never removed Mellon as the primary beneficiary of his life insurance policy. Both Mellon and Sveen's adult children sought to claim the insurance proceeds. In light of Minnesota's extension of the revocation upon divorce statute to life insurance policies, Sveen's insurance company sought clarification in federal district court regarding whether Mellon should still be considered the primary beneficiary. The district court granted summary judgment in favor of the Sveens, applying the revocation upon divorce statute retroactively to remove Mellon as beneficiary. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit reversed that judgment, however, reasoning that retroactive application of the statute in these circumstances would violate the Contracts Clause. The Supreme Court thereafter granted certiorari to consider that core issue, whether the application of a revocation upon divorce statute to a contract signed before the statute's enactment violates the Contracts Clause. And now, to discuss the case, we have Professor James Ely, Professor of Law Emeritus at Vanderbilt University Law School.
Sveen v. Mellon is an obscure case dealing with a revocation upon divorce statute as applied to the beneficiary designation in a life insurance policy. The case is potentially important because it marks the first time in 25 years that the Supreme Court has considered the neglected contract clause case. Because the contract clause may not be well known to many listeners, I will begin by briefly tracing the purpose and history of the provision. The contract clause was one of a cluster of limitations on the states contained in Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution. It provides no state shall pass any law impairing the obligation of contracts. The contract clause was placed in the Constitution to ensure the stability of agreements, a step deemed essential to encourage commerce. It was designed to prohibit retroactive impairment of existing contracts by legislative action. It does not operate prospectively. Throughout the 19th century, the contract clause was vigorously enforced. As is well known, Chief Justice John Marshall endorsed a broad reading of the contract clause. By the early 20th century, however, the Supreme Court created a number of exceptions to the provision, which, as a practical matter, virtually eliminated it from the Constitution. Review of contract clause cases became perfunctory, and the provision disappeared from the Supreme Court's docket for years. To determine contract clause violations, the court currently employs an ambiguous multi-pronged test, heavily weighted in favor of state authority. Now, let us turn to the facts of the Sveen case. In 1998, Mark Sveen named his then-wife, Kay Mellon, as primary beneficiary of a life insurance policy. In 2002, Minnesota passed a law automatically revoking an ex-spouse as beneficiary in the event of divorce. Vin and Mellon were divorced in 2007, and he died a few years later, having never changed the designated beneficiary in his policy. The question before the Supreme Court is whether the Minnesota statute violated the contract clause when applied retroactively to Sven's policy. The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals found the statute unconstitutional on contract clause grounds. The attorneys for Sven Children pointed out that revocation upon divorce statutes have been enacted in many states and reflect the assumption that people who get divorced typically do not want to maintain their ex-spouse as a beneficiary. They further contended that even if there was an impairment, it was not substantial. They reasoned that Sven could have contacted the insurance company and redesignated Mellon as a beneficiary. Thus, they characterized the statute as merely a default rule that the policyholder could easily circumvent. In addition, they noted that the statute was an attempt to treat insurance proceeds in the same manner as wills. The attorneys for Mellon argued that the court should restore the original understanding of the contract clause and insisted that under such an approach, the statute was clearly unconstitutional. They sharply criticized the current multi-pronged balancing test as in effect rewriting the contract clause and undercutting contractual stability. They also maintained that even under the current test, the Minnesota statute substantially impaired the insurance contract by automatically changing the beneficiary upon divorce and was neither reasonable nor served a significant public purpose. During the oral argument, the justices peppered each side with questions. They questioned the reasonableness of the legislative assumption that upon divorce, most people did not want a former spouse to have their insurance proceeds. They probed the similarity and differences between wills and life insurance, and considered whether real property recording statutes were actually analogous to the revocation statute at issue. As a historian, I am reluctant to make predictions about the outcome of cases. That holds true here as well. It is my hope that the Supreme Court might take this occasion to revitalize the once potent contract clause. I argued this point in my amicus brief. Unfortunately, I did not detect any interest on the part of the court to fundamentally revisit contract clause jurisprudence. I suspect that the Sabin case will be resolved one way or the other on narrow ground.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.